Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I've been ministering for, well, over a week now on a subject of anger and how we're to deal with it according to the Word of God. And the Lord just brought something to mind that I do want to clarify. As for those of you who heard yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about righteous anger. And we're looking at some passages found in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, because evil, sin, is what sent Jesus to the cross. And then we looked at the words of David, who said in Psalm 139, verses 21 through 22, I hate them with perfect hatred. And some of you may have just the strength of what was represented by the words of David, and then the reference that I gave in Numbers 25. We see Phinehas, who was the grandson of the high priest Aaron. What occurred in that particular 25th chapter, it said the people of Israel were dwelling at Shittim, and Balak was he was upset and had offered Balaam a reward, money, to curse Israel. Of course, Balaam could not do that. In spite of, he wanted the wages, but God would not let him speak anything but blessing to Israel. And in chapter 25, it opens by saying the children of Israel just stayed at Shittim at this point in time, and the people began, verse 1, to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And God was so angry, he told Moses to speak to the leaders of the people, and those that were guilty of that, they were to be slain. And everyone that had joined themselves to worshiping the false god Baal. And then we see, as far when Phinehas comes in, when the people of Israel were repenting, it says they were at the door of the tabernacle, weeping before the Lord. One Israelite man went with a Midianite woman, took her into his tent, and when Phinehas saw it, he was so angry, he took a javelin and thrust them through so that the plague was stayed from Israel. And God's response was that he would create an everlasting priesthood out of his line, because he was, quote, in verse 13, jealous for his God. He made atonement for the children of Israel. Now, you might say, well, Sister Glass, we are under a new covenant, a New Testament, and we need to be like Stephen, who said, as he was being martyred, said, Lord, for lay not this sin to their charge. That's what Jesus did on the cross. But I'm trying to give you practical guidelines on how we deal with anger, including righteous anger. In fact, we're going to be dealing now how to deal with fleshly anger and righteous anger, as well as give you some a constructive outlet for anger. And then, of course, the conclusion to all of this is that we do have, praise God, victory in Jesus, that we can recognize, we can understand, and even appreciate this aspect, capacity for anger in our emotional nature. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. All throughout the scriptures, we see how God was so angry at times, he was going to wipe out the people of Israel. And in fact, there were times, even in the New Testament, remember Ananias and Sapphira? Peter said, you've not lied to man, but you've lied to the Holy Ghost. They fell down dead. First Ananias, 3 hours later, his wife comes in, same thing happens to her. So we are dealing with a holy God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Remember Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And so we're going to be understanding what do we do with righteous anger, because that's, you know, that's a response, a godly response to evil and wickedness. But let's look at Ephesians 4:26, which declares, be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. Huh? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Okay, so in this scripture, I can see actually two things operating: godly, righteous anger and carnal anger. And what they're saying is, if you are angry for a righteous cause, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and we're not to give place to the devil, which we do with our own carnal anger, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we have to discipline our temper. Anger is not to be our master. We must master it. Anger in itself is not a sin. These are important scriptures I'm sharing with you, beloved, for our Lord himself felt it. Would you like me to give chapter and verse? Okay, let's turn to Mark, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. And he, this is Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man with there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, whether or not he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him or criticize him. Of course, it was the Sabbath day. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. In other words, stand up, come here. And he said unto them, he's speaking now to the leaders, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Well, they held their peace. And this is verse 5. And when he had looked round about on them, he just looked at them with anger. He looked around them with anger, being grieved. See, that was that righteous anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was made whole, restored whole as the other. And of course, that just drove them wild. The Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Jesus said he withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. Anyway, so he was angry. So we know from Scripture that anger is frequently attributed to God himself. That's always, always righteous anger. It's a very strong emotion, beloved, as you perhaps have practical experience with. In the form of resentment or righteous indignation, it performs a stimulating function in the fight against evil. You know, the fight against slavery, against human trafficking. That's a righteous anger, but it can be a potentially dangerous weapon, which is why we find so many references and exhortations in the scripture to, quote, sin not. How does God address this? Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. In this command, Paul gives a twofold safeguard against the abuse of even righteous anger. Even righteous anger is not to be prolonged beyond the nighttime of the day. Sleep ends the old day and prepares us for the freshness of a new day. We are not God's avenging angels. Our anger is not to be brooded over and stimulated. The word wrath is synonymous with self-exasperation, nursing of wrath to keep it warm. Sometimes we can't control that first outburst. However, wrath and anger can be checked even by those who cannot control that first outburst. Righteous anger, if brooded over and stimulated, becomes corrupted into selfish and perhaps even personal anger. Why? Because that is not your place to vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not your place to inflict punishment or justice. Even though your reaction, and it should be for all of us, when we see evil that's occurring, we have righteous anger. But why don't we let the sun go down on our wrath? Because ultimately, while we are upset and we are grieved, we are to pray, but we then are able to release that righteous anger into the hands of a holy God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. In other words, we're not called on to administer justice, at least under this new covenant. I mean, as far as the old covenant, Phinehas, God approved of that action. You know, in fact, anyone who caused Israel to seek out necromancers and sorcerers, they were to be stoned that by the congregation. And so, I mean, that's why what happened to Stephen, you know, there are those in the days in which we are now living and entering into, where those who will kill you and think they're doing God a service. And so, beloved, we have to understand to have the mind of Jesus, the mind of Christ Jesus, on how to deal with even righteous anger. We're not to give place to the devil. This is on a personal, carnal level, carnal anger. The devil is our enemy. He is the tempter. The very name devil describes one method of his enmity, for it means one who sits at variance, not only man with God, but man with man. That is very important. And so I want to spend a little bit more time on this. And then I want to give you some practical suggestions on how to deal with anger. And then, Lord willing, wrap this entire subject up and move on to other things that God would have us focus on. Whenever I take this length of time, I know God is wanting to really emphasize a subject. And so by His grace, may we be diligent learners of the truth of God's Word. So as I bring this broadcast to a close, beloved, I thank you for joining me, and I want you to know that I pray for you every day, my UCM partners and my radio family, that what I'm asking God to do in my life, to create a clean heart and a right spirit, I pray that for those who listen, that you can grow in the grace of God, and that He can be pleased with the fruit of righteousness that you bear, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, all these aspects of the character of Christ. That's what God is after, that's what the Holy Spirit is after, and that's my heart's desire for all of us as well. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,